Hebrews chapter 13 and beginning at verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This morning I want to share with you another of the Ten Commandments of the home, and that is how to be a contented house. We can be a contented house, even in our time of discontent. I read a book a number of years ago by John Steinbeck. Everyone is familiar with The Grapes of Wrath. Well, he wrote another book called The Winter of Our Discontent. And I think that's so true of many of our homes today, even our Christian homes. We're in a winter of discontent. Here in Modoc, we've had summer, and now it seems like we're having fall, but it's still in the month of May. So I think we can identify with that winter of discontent. A winter that just seemingly never ends. Well, I want to share with you this morning how to be a contented house. Three attitudes, if you will, of a contented house. If we're going to be a contented house, then we have to have these three attitudes. And in order to make that house a home, we have to be a contented house. Three attitudes, again, of a contented house. First of all, the first attitude is to avoid covetousness. Avoid covetousness. Now, the Bible is very clear. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20 is this: Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And Jesus said in Luke 12:15, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he followed this statement by the parable of the rich farmer. And in that parable, he taught about a man who had so much, and yet he was discontent. And he worried about where he was going to sell or where he was going to store all of his grain. And he was all in a tizzy about that. And he said to himself, where am I going to put all of this wealth that God has given me? I know what I'm going to do, then he thought. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. Then God said to him, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? Well, this man was afflicted with covetousness. I think he could be found in America today. In fact, he may be the ideal American because we're a covetous nation. But God prohibits it. Coveting is simply desiring something that we do not have. Jesus said, having food and raiment, we should be content with that. But we're not content with that. We add things to that. Things that we think we need. A home, for example. An automobile. Electricity. All of these things seem to be essential to us, but didn't he say that having food and clothes, we should be content with that? So we need to avoid covetousness if we are going to have that contented house. There are pitfalls that happen when we are covetous. When we want things that we don't have, we want to keep up with the Joneses. And we look at what others have. And of course, all of our advertisers know that we have these covetous desires. And so they play upon them. And they create even more covetousness in us by making us think that we're not living the American dream unless we have this or that item in our life. In the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, we're told about Achan, a man named Achan. And I think he was well named because Achan was aching to take something, to take things that were not his. And he was a covetous man. He was commanded, as all of the Israelites were, when they were beginning to take over the land of Canaan that God had given them. God had instructed them not to take anything because it was defiled. And they were very clearly instructed that they were just to go in and possess the land and not covet what did not belong to them. But Achan was singled out, and Achan confessed. He said, when I saw the spoil, a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You see, not only did Achan suffer, but his whole family suffered and were judged for covetousness. We need to beware of covetousness, Jesus said. Take heed and beware of it, for our life does not consist in the abundance of things that we think we possess. And we know we really don't possess them. They're just given to us as a lease. One day we will be called to give account of how we have fulfilled our stewardship of those things. So let us avoid covetousness. Let us secondly certainly apply contentedness. Many homes are filled with discontentment and strife. Never have people been tantalized with so much material glitter and glamour than our society today. How do we be content amid all of this wealth and plenty that we think we deserve but yet don't have? Well, first of all, we need to understand the measure of contentment. Jesus said that we are to be content with such things as we have. People yesterday were obsessed with keeping up with the Joneses. Today, just keeping up doesn't seem enough. People are afflicted with a new disease. I think lotto fever is a symptom of that. Jesus, or John the Baptist rather, was preaching to some soldiers one day. There were soldiers in the audience. I suppose after he stopped, the soldiers questioned him, and they said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Do no violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Be content with your wages. We would only heed that advice. We'd be so much happier. We would begin at least to apply contentedness in our life. There is a master of contentment, contentedness. And that master, of course, is Jesus. He had no place to lay his head, and yet he was content in the Father's will. Not just content. Sometimes we understand that word to mean, well, I'm suffering for the Lord, but yet I'm content. No, that contentment that the Lord had was a joyful contentment. He knew that the Father had promised to supply all of his needs, and he was simply content with what God the Father would give him. So we need to learn from the master of contentedness. We also need to learn from the manner of contentedness. Contentment is linked with godliness in the Bible. Did you know that? Because 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be content with that." But thirdly, to be a contented house, we must adopt calmness. Notice that here the contented life is linked to a bold confidence in the Lord to provide and protect for our home. Let me read the passage again. It says, "To keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you,' so that we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" I think those verses are linked there. And I believe that the link there is that the person who is content has learned the secret of contentment, also has adopted a calmness in his life because he is not afraid. Notice that this calmness comes from faith. Faith is resting. Hebrews 4:3 says, "We who have believed do enter into rest." Today, many families feel like they can't rest. They need to work 7 days a week with two or three jobs apiece just to make ends meet. Husband and wife have become strangers, and they only see each other for a few minutes a day. Could this be due to a covetous lifestyle? But faith means that we rest in what God has provided, and we walk by faith, the Bible says, and not by sight. And so let us learn the lesson of faith and the calmness that comes from faith. And it also comes from following. Calmness does. When we follow the Lord, we can say that He is our helper. Psalm 123 verse 2 says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us." Let us follow the Lord, and in doing so, we will find that calmness that is an integral part of contentment. And fearlessness, thirdly. If we have the calmness that comes by faith and by following, there will also be fearlessness in our hearts. Not like Jesus, what Jesus said of people in the last days in Luke 21:26. He said men's hearts then would fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Here it says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Two of my favorite individuals in the New Testament are James and John. We named two of our sons James and John. One actually Jonathan, but it's the same name. And James and John were, of course, two of the disciples of Jesus. And one day they came with their mother, and I suppose she was like some of the stage mothers today, they're called, or soccer mom, because she wanted the best for her sons. Nothing wrong with that. But they said, "Grant us that when you sit with your Father in your glory, in your kingdom, grant that these sons sons, James and John, that we may sit on your right hand and on your left hand. And Jesus said, well, that will be decided by the Father when that time comes. He said, but that is not mine to give. He said, and then he looked at, I think he looked at James and John, and he said, are you willing to drink of the cup that I am going to drink of, speaking of his suffering? And I love what they said. They said that we can. And of course, James was the first Christian martyr. Here were two boys who loved Jesus and were fearless in following him. And we need to, and will have that fearlessness if we have the calmness of faith and are following the Lord. And we will be well on our way to that secret of contentment. Well, again, we can have contentment if we will avoid covetousness and apply contentedness and adopt calmness. We can have that contented house, and we will be on the way to making our house into a true Christian home.